Cheryl, you want to start? There we go.
Worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this 16th day after Pentecost. Today we're joined by the chair of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, Glenn Roundsville, our youth pastor, and Dave Valerio, our musical director. So Pastor Glenn, please call us to worship.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend his works to another. They will tell of his mighty acts. They will speak of his glorious splendor, of his majesty, and we will meditate on his wonderful works. We will reflect on God's ongoing work in our lives as we call ourselves to worship. Amen. Thank you for all you have done and continue to do in our lives. Yet we come humbly into your presence, knowing that we need you constantly. Please remain present in our hearts, heal our emotions, forgive our sins, and guide us in the way we should go. Give us receptive spirits and help us to share your message with others who are new to the faith or have not heard of you. Continually remind us that we are witnesses and ambassadors for you as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. And Martha, I believe you have our mission moment today.
I do. For our September mission, we have decided to open up to the congregation donations for the school in Haiti that Ken and I are a member of the Reverend John Parso Foundation that has built this school. We have the final vision is an occupational school. Father Jean-Pierre Aubin, our founder, would like to teach Haitians to have trades, to work, to help themselves and their communities. We haven't got there yet, but we do have three buildings, and we have opened it up to elementary school children. We have 100 children. They get an education. They get a meal every day. And this has been since 2014. We opened in 2019. We did close for a little while during the pandemic, but for the most part, we've been open. I can see. And we have a little video clip of Father Jean-Pierre, who spoke on CBS. He was interviewed on CBS. So I'll let you watch that. Traditionally, we have given a check from the bequest at our annual event, dinner dance event, which will be October 2nd this year. So we'd kind of like to do that again. And we thought we'd open it up to the congregation to donate also. I'm going to let Wayne show the video. And next time, the second mission moment this month, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Reverend John M. Pariso, for whom this is named and who is an inspiration in himself. So thank you.
Earthquake in Haiti now tops 1,900 people. A tropical storm has complicated the search and rescue efforts there. Meantime, here in Massachusetts, people are looking to support the Haitian community as they look to clean up and rebuild once again. WBZ's Julia McDonald spoke with a local pastor from Haiti who is heartbroken to see what's unfolding.
There are so many problems around the world today. So when you have a place like Haiti, it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget Haiti.
But Father Jean-Pierre Aubin, pastor of Walpole's two Catholic churches, could never forget. Haiti is home, and each return visit fills his heart and pains it.
Each time you go, it's as if it gets worse. It's as if there is no hope.
Between the most recent deadly earthquake over the weekend, followed by a tropical storm, ongoing political corruption, and the COVID pandemic, life there is simply suffering.
This country can't seem to catch a break. It's heartbreaking.
With the help of a passionate Massachusetts team, Aubin runs the Reverend John M. Pariso Foundation. The Haitian school feeds and teaches more than 200 children. It's named for the priest who changed his life.
One person helped me, and I would have been dead by now. Oh yeah, without him I would be nothing. Yeah.
While the Archdiocese of Boston holds two special collections for Haiti the next two weekends, Father Jean-Pierre is asking for generosity for his kids now more than ever. That school is all they have. It's their hope.
One day when I retire, that's where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. I'm trying to do my best. I have a lot of help. and I have God.
In Walpole, Julie McDonald, WBZ News.
Thank you, Wayne. One more thing I'd like to add is that when we first saw the path of that hurricane coming to the southern coast of Haiti, which is where our school is in Jacmel, we were really panicky. We were so lucky that it veered to the west and we were spared.
Thank you for that, Martha. This is the time we have some announcements. I think that everyone has probably heard by now that Sue Winship passed away on Labor Day last Monday. There's no memorial service at this time. The family has delayed that until May, so we should be holding them in our prayers, certainly. I believe next Saturday we are holding a yard sale outside the CE building, and we still need volunteers. So please call Kathy at the church office on Tuesday or Thursday, or leave a message any other time if you can help with the setup, the breakdown, the food, or on the church table, or just show up on Saturday and support this effort. Thank you. Are there any other announcements? If so, please feel free to unmute yourself and speak. Sandy.
I'd like to let folks know that we're using Vanco for stewardship, for memorial gift for Sue. If people would like to donate, you can get to the Vanco page for online donations from either our Facebook page or from our website. So you'll see an additional tile up there right now for memorial gifts donations. And I'm meeting with the stewardship folks and the mission folks on Monday to talk a little bit more about what they'd like to see up there. But please be aware that we have that, and please start to utilize that.
Thank you, Rich. And Sandy, I believe you wanted to say something.
Yes, my grandson, who broke his hip last year and had COVID this year, played in his first football game Friday, and he kicked in the winning goal.
All right. That's a celebration indeed. Yes. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Any other announcements? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you please introduce your music for us?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Our morning opening hymn was, you heard the pre-service music, which was, of course, Morning is Broken. And our opening hymn was Shall We Gather by the River, which is now our theme song for our parking lot. And the hymn we're going to sing is Blessed Assurance. If you have a hymnal, it is 369, number 369 in the hymnal. And there's going to be three verses and refrains. If you check on the chat button, Sherilyn is posting the lyrics as we speak. And you can find the lyrics down there. It's three verses. So let's all sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you, Mr. Dave, as always. This is the time we share our celebrations. I'd like to celebrate and remember all of Sue Winship's gifts to the church of her time and talent on this day. We certainly will miss her for a long time to come. I believe the Thibodeaux are celebrating their first wedding anniversary today. Congratulations, Sandy and Walter. I'd also like to celebrate the volunteers that came forth to help with the church yard work. Gil Reinders mowed and weeded around the church building and in the graveyard, and Stacy Boss and her dad Hallie mowed around the CE building, and it looks so much nicer now. So thank you for that effort. Are there any other celebrations that you would like to mention? Please unmute yourself and shout them out.
I'd like to celebrate my son's, I'm down here in Florida celebrating my son's 30th birthday. We had him when I was 12. I'm also able to visit my beautiful granddaughter, Penelope, and his wife, Sarah.
Very good. Anyone else? Hearing none, then, let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill, for those who are grieving, and any others in need of prayer, including the Winship family, Rich Goss's brother Tom, Cher, Bob Avoy and sister Marge. Eamon, baby Eamon, is out of the ICU and improving. He still has a little ways to go before he comes home, but Jan, we're very pleased that he's doing a little bit better. I've been asked for prayers for the Allen family. I'm assuming since it's a whole family, this may be COVID-related. The first names of Valeria, the mother, Alyssa, who also has asthma, Bob, and Mike. And we continue to pray for Martha McCatton's grandson, Ben, who is at home and doing physical therapy. We remember Len Mitchell at home and in hospice care along with his wife, Nancy. Ed and Janet Dyer, I got to see them this week, and they're doing reasonably well. That's good. We pray for Jennifer, for Loretta, for AJ from Bishop Fien, the hockey player who was paralyzed. We pray for Marie and Lee, Tyson Bowles' sister. Tom Fish has been diagnosed with cancer and he has been undergoing treatments. That's Sue Ferrari's husband, if you don't recognize the name. And I hear that Jackie Howard managed to dislocate her knee and is in some pain, and she's with us here today. So thank you, Jackie, for that. Those in the nursing homes and assisted living, we remember Jackie Glass, Carolyn Farrell, Doris Brunel, and Rob Krajewski is now at home. That's Debbie Trowbridge's husband. And we always pray for all of those who suffer addictions. We remember still the victims of the natural disasters, Haiti following that terrible earthquake, and all of those who were uprooted by Hurricane Ida and the terrible flooding that brought. And of course, we continue to pray for an end to this pandemic. We pray for the well-being of our nation, and we pray for our communities. So please join with me for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. We praise you, gracious God, the giver of all life and sustainer of our own lives. Let us make room for you in our hearts this morning so that you may come near. In stillness now, may we know your presence. We gather together this morning and remember those terrible events of September 11th, 2001. It's hard to believe it is now 20 years since that dreadful morning. It's equally hard to believe how much those events have changed our lives forever. Some of us refuse to remember that morning and others cannot forget it. Help us never to forget and to learn from all that has unfolded over these years. Oh Lord, you know us better than anyone, better than we know ourselves. What do we need this day? What do we need to bring here and leave here? Fortify the places in us that are noble, compassionate, wise, and good. Enter the places where we are empty and afraid, lonely and in doubt. Heal our wounds and kiss away our tears. Gather us to your transforming love and into your gracious arms. God of power and tenderness, we pray for ourselves in the midst of the angst and fear of a terrible virus. We pray for all of our friends and neighbors, people we love, and let us also pray for those whom we do not love, our opponents, our betrayers, our enemies. We pray for those who are sick and those whose names we have mentioned. We also pray for those who have died, who are suffering in the terrors of mental illness or addiction, who are in prison, and especially we pray for those who have no one to pray for them. In this moment of silence, we also lift up the names of others who are in need of your presence and who are on our minds this morning. Holy One, we struggle to understand the depth of your love for us, that it is not when the world considers us successful or wise or powerful or accomplished that you love us most, but rather when we forgive one another and are generous with one another, when we are tender and kind, open, loving, and compassionate. What the world sees as weak, you count as strong. What the world counts as foolish causes you to rejoice. May we be fools for you, our Creator, our Christ, our Sacred Spirit. We ask this and all of our prayers in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day.
Last week, we heard about a conflict between the Pharisees and Jesus about what constituted being a good Jew. They had argued over the many laws around food and customs of being clean and unclean ritually. Later, Paul wrote about this very subject to the new church in Rome. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 10 and verses 19 through 21. Please hear these words. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads us to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean. But it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything that will cause your brother or sister to fall and fail. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. We find ourselves in a contentious world. No matter how hard we seem to try, we cannot establish world peace. We can't find agreement and peace in our own country, sometimes in our own community, and even sometimes in our own church. Paul teaches his new church in Rome that there will always be differences in the way human beings see the world and understand the gospel. But we must not push people aside for having different points of view. We must welcome all into our community. Paul mentions eating in terms of ritual cleanliness and uncleanness. That's really not in dispute these days, certainly not in our faith in Christianity. But I do find it interesting he speaks of eating meat or only vegetables. That's current. I'm sure you've been lectured about getting all of the meat out of your diet. But you know what? I happen to like meat. He talks about more important days, and he's talking about religiously. The Jews, of course, maintained Saturday as the Sabbath, but Christians started worshiping on Sunday. Why? Because that is the celebration of the resurrection, which occurred on the first day of the week. Martin Luther said that every Sunday is a little Easter. And so we still worship on Sunday rather than on Saturday. Here we are 20 years after the worst terrorist attack we ever suffered as a nation, September 11th, 2001. Remember how that drew us together as a nation immediately following that terrible event? But today we are far more inclined to judge others than to seek understanding. What has happened to us? And this is certainly not new to the human race. Socrates, the great Greek philosopher who lived 500 years before Jesus Christ, was always considered to be a very wise person like Solomon. And I love this conversation I read the other day. One day someone came to visit him and his opening salvo was, "You know what I just heard about your friend?" Socrates said, "Well, wait a minute before you tell me. I'd like to give you a test, that of the three sieves." The three sieves? Before telling something about others, it's good to take the time to filter what you want to say. For those of you who don't know what a sieve is, it's a sifter, really, okay? The first sieve is that of truth. Have you verified that what you want to tell me is true? "No, I only heard about it." Socrates said, "Well, very well, so you don't know if it's true. Let's continue with the second sieve, and that is the sieve of kindness. Is that something good you want to tell me about my friend?" And the man said, "Oh, no, on the contrary." He said, "So you want to tell me bad things about him, and you don't even know if they're true. Well, maybe you can still pass the test. There's a third sieve left, that of utility. Does it help me to know what this friend might have done?" And the man said, "Not really." So, concluded Socrates, "What you wanted to tell me is neither true nor good nor useful. So why did you want to tell me?" My goodness, that is so true, isn't it? These days it's, "How do I hate thee? Let me count the ways," with apologies to Elizabeth Barrett. We judge one another on an awful lot of things today, don't we? Progressive or liberal, right or left, Democrat or Republican, black or white, straight or gay, carnivore or vegetarian, vaccinated or not vaccinated, addict or sober. I think there's a few more you could come up with. And by the way, Paul talks about not eating or drinking in front of a brother or sister if it leads anyone astray. Remember those last words that Wayne read? It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Those are the very words that the Protestant churches have used to say that we should use grape juice instead of wine when we're celebrating communion, so as not to tempt a person with a choice of communion or alcohol. That's not a fair choice for that person who is addicted. And it's also the reason we do not participate in raffles or bingo, so as not to offer a temptation to someone who is a gambling addict. There are no first or second class citizens in the kingdom of God. We are all God's children, and God loves us all the same. And isn't that the way it ought to be? There are enough ways of measuring status in this world without having first and second class citizens in this world and in the kingdom to come. Every society, from the poorest to the richest, has some way of measuring status. Back in the days when the stagecoach was the primary means of transportation in the American West, one sign of status was the class of the stagecoach ticket you bought. It's not unlike what happens in airplanes today. There's first class, and then there's the rest of us. It was common in the West, though, the Wild West, for a stagecoach to break down or to get stuck on a rocky or muddy path. Passengers with a third class ticket were required to get the stagecoach going again. They removed the rocks or tree limbs that blocked the path. They cleared the mud from around the wagon wheels. They unloaded the heavier items from the stagecoach. And if the stagecoach was too heavy for the horses to pull it up a hill, second class and third class passengers had to disembark and walk up the hill. First class passengers were not expected to do any work, no matter how messy the situation was, no matter how stuck the stagecoach was. A passenger with a first class ticket was under no obligation to help on the journey. He or she simply benefited from the work of others. No, there are no first or second class citizens in the kingdom of God. We are all God's children, and God loves us all the same. As the church, Christ asks us to bond together and do the work of making this time and this place a better world for all God's children. And isn't that the way it ought to be? Amen.
In the Lord with all your heart, and do not be confident in your own understanding. In everything you say and do, acknowledge that God is always present, and he will grant you strength, peace, and light as you follow him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for being here today, and feel free to unmute yourselves and join us in our virtual coffee hour.